Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. And podcasts of prior shows are available on both of those sites as well. Today is February 3rd, 2016. The markets were mixed today. The Dow closing at 16,336, the NASDAQ at 4504, and the S&P at 1912. What are we doing tonight? We're talking about Social Security and Social Security changes in particular. So lots of great information tonight. We want you to pay attention. It affects many of us. We are live. We will take your questions. Judy Ann is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we could talk without confusion. We do typically we discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while we do typically have topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I'll do my best to answer them. Although tonight, there's so much to talk about with Social Security and so many questions, I think we'll be able to fill up the whole hour. We welcome your calls. The phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us or off air, whatever is more comfortable for you. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So we are discussing Social Security benefits this evening, as well as the recent changes in Social Security benefit options. And we have in the studio with us this evening Mark Basic, District Manager for the Allentown office. It used to be the Bethlehem office, wasn't it, Mark?
I moved up and on.
So, okay, yes. Okay. So Mark is a frequent guest in the past to talk about Social Security and knows a lot. So we are looking forward to talking to Mark. Are we going to get started, Mark? You ready to go?
Ready to go, Lori.
Okay. So we want to talk about the recent changes, of course, the filing strategy options that have changed for folks with the implementation of the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015. But it may make sense to first discuss what kind of filing strategies couples or individuals have had over the past several years, and then discuss the changes. So prior to the recent act, what benefit options were available for folks when they went to file for Social Security?
Okay, let's first talk a little bit about the decision of when to file, because that has the biggest bearing on this. For most people, they can file for Social Security retirement benefits between the ages of 62 and 70. Of course, you can file after that, but you won't get any more money by waiting beyond age 70. So the earlier that you file, as early as age 62, you will face a reduction, and currently that reduction would be about 25%. At age 66, you get the full benefit, or 100% of your lifetime benefit as figured by Social Security. But a magical thing happens to folks after age 66, and that's something called a delayed retirement credit. And it's it grows your benefit at the rate of 0.75% per month, and that translates into 8% a year. So if one can hang on to age 70, you'll find that 100% at age 66 grows to 132%. So that is obviously a tremendous increase, and it's powerful. It's especially powerful if you live a long time, because then you get this much greater benefit over a longer period of time. So let's kind of file that thought away, how important that is to delay those benefits if you want to grow the benefit. And one other piece of information I'm going to throw out is that the growth of the benefit by waiting after age 62 is roughly 6.25% a year, or about 0.5% a month. So a lot of folks, when I talk to them, say, well, I don't want to take them before 66 because you get 100% at 66. And my response is, well, if you really want a higher benefit, delay after 66, because then it goes up 8% a year. And at least where I went to school, 8 is more than 6.25. And so if you take it at 62, you're getting a smaller benefit, but over a longer period of time. And for most people between 62 and 66, if they take that money and let's say they save it, it's really going to take them about 12 years before they have made a bad decision by taking it at 62. Beyond that, though, by growing that benefit, delaying becomes much, much more attractive. So let's consider some other reasons that impact on when somebody takes Social Security. If you're between 62 and 66, if you're working, your work will affect your benefits. Now, if your earnings are under about $15,000 a year, then you're going to be getting all of your Social Security. If your earnings are above that, let's say $40,000, $50,000 a year, it makes no sense to apply for Social Security between 62 and 65, because we're going to reduce the benefits. But age 66, the year that you turn 66, things start changing, and for the most part, your earnings, once you reach 66, will not affect your Social Security at all. So having filed all that away now, let's think about why somebody wouldn't take their benefits at 66. You're going to get your full Social Security. You'll get 100%. And if you're working, the work doesn't affect the benefit. Well, of course, the reason that you don't take it is it's growing at 8% a year if you don't take it. Mm-hmm. In addition, if you're married, you're protecting your spouse. And if you die, your spouse will get that augmented benefit upon your death. They'll get the 132% benefit. And so these are all the things that people have to consider in making that decision. Now, if we have the time now, perhaps we could go into this whole issue of filing strategies that people have used up till now, filing and suspending, and restricted application.
So we will go into that, but I think we're going to go into our break. So let me recap for a moment. So we're talking about benefits that people have earned through working over the years and what benefits they are entitled to and at what age they can apply. They can apply as early as 62, but there will be a reduced benefit. They don't have to wait till a particular year like 66 or 70. They could collect at 63 or 64, and then they'll have a little bit higher benefit than they would have at 62. But by waiting till 66, they have 100% of their primary insurance amount, whatever was calculated, their full benefit that they can get. But if they wait till 70, they get an 8% premium for each year they wait. There again, they might start collecting at 68. If their circumstances change, then they would have the 8% premium for each of those years. I just want people to realize it's not like an all or nothing. There's flexibility in when you go to collect, but you will get benefits regardless if you wait, but not beyond age 70. So when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the available filing strategies that people have had and how that is eventually going to change. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810, live or off air, wherever you're more comfortable. And we'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
You're listening to Your Financial Choices here on WDIY. We're taking a brief break here to update you on traffic situation here in the Lehigh Valley at Route 33 and 22. There are heavy delays and some stopped traffic, emergency vehicles on site there heading towards Easton, heading east towards Easton 25th Street area as well. Accident causing numerous problems there. Also, Route 22 and Cedar Crest. In the Allentown area, there's an accident with emergency vehicles on site and east-west delays at Route 22 and Cedar Crest.
Thanks, Neil, and thanks for the update. Folks, please be careful out there as you're driving on these wet, slippery roads. Welcome back to the show. This is Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and I have in the studio with me this evening Mark Basak, District Manager for the Social Security Administration, and a great resource for us, and we appreciate him being here. Lots of confusion and questions around some of the changes in Social Security. We had a call come in from Mercedes in Allentown. Thank you for calling. She said she's 29 years old and is often told to invest since Social Security will not be there for her. What would need to happen for this to be true? So, Mark, we've talked about this on prior shows. People, you know, will hear, oh, Social Security is going to go bankrupt. What's going to happen? But let me just say, Mercedes, you should still save no matter what, because sometimes as we go through our lives, and if we live till 90, their Social Security benefit at age 66 or 70 may not be enough at age 90. So it's nice to always have extra savings for retirement as well. I don't think Social Security was ever meant to completely replace people's resources in retirement. But Mark, what do you say to Mercedes when people say, hey, Social Security might not be there for you, young lady?
Mercedes, I would say do not worry at all. I honestly believe Social Security will be there when you reach retirement age. But a very important thing is, Mercedes, there's a lot of folks your age who are currently collecting Social Security disability. And there are folks your age that unfortunately have died and left surviving children, a surviving spouse, and they're currently collecting Social Security. So, you know, people say, well, I'm a young person, Social Security won't be there for me. Unfortunately, for people in difficult situations like disability or death, it is already there for you. In terms of how this could come about, Social Security is a law, and it's a social insurance system that's been around now for 85 years. 85 years. And I don't think it's going to go away. It could only go away based on the decisions of politicians. But currently, 1 in 6 Americans collect Social Security. That's not 1 in 6 old people, Mercedes. That's 1 in 6 everybody. And I have the feeling that we will all be enjoying the benefits in our old age, including yourself.
But great question. Thanks for calling in. Folks, if you do have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. So we were talking before the break about the ages of which people can file, and that was a great summary of that. Can we talk for a minute, before we talk about the filing strategies, what kind of benefits are we filing for? I work. I'm going to go in and file for my benefit, but maybe my spouse doesn't work. Are they entitled to anything? So let's talk about some of the benefits that are available.
Social Security is definitely a family-friendly program, Lori, and we pay benefits to spouses, but realistically, if the spouse is under age 66, we are going to pay the higher benefit, whether it's the spouse's benefit or one half of, so we don't get confused here, let's call them husbands and wives.
Okay.
So either the wife will collect her own or one half of her husband's, whichever is higher. If the wife worked a lot, then she will collect her own if she starts collecting before age 66. Now, in the case of death, we have survivor's benefits. And here, too, Social Security uses the rule of paying the higher benefit. Survivor's benefits tend to be much higher than spousal benefits while the spouse is alive. And survivor's benefits can go as much as 100%. That is what the worker would have gotten if they had reached age 66. It could be as little as 71% if the widow or widower takes the benefit at age 60, or between 50 and 60 if they're disabled. So 71% is the bottom, 100% is the top. So people who have worked on their own and who have a spouse who's passed away have options. And those options can include taking their own benefit at age 62, and at age 66, switching to the spousal benefit without any reduction. Or conversely, taking the widow's benefit at age 60, and then at age 70, sometimes before, but at age 70, taking their own and getting 132% of their own benefit at age 70. So those are options that are available as survivor's benefits. Now, I said that the rule is you have to take the higher benefit, half of your spouse's or your own. But one of the really neat options that people have had up till now and continue to have is that when you reach 66, you can take either your own or one half of your spouse's. You have that choice. You're not forced to take the higher of the two. So this becomes important, and we have a strategy that has been employed called file and suspend. And to make this example pretty easy, let's say we have two people who are the same age. They both reach 66. They both earned about the same amount of money in their lifetime. And let's say they're both entitled to $2,000 a month at age 66. What we could have is that the one spouse does something called file and suspend. So they don't take their own benefit, but by filing, they allow eligibility for their spouse. Their spouse, who's also 66 and has a choice, they can take their own if they want to, but if they prefer, they can take one half of their spouses, which in this example would be $1,000 a month. So from age 66 to 70, they could take $1,000 a month. That's $48,000. And then you might ask yourself, well, if they're entitled to $2,000 a month on their own record, why would they limit themselves to $1,000? Well, the reason is they want to take advantage of those delayed retirement credits. And in this example, both members of the couple end up enjoying the fruits of delayed retirement credits. And so when they reach age 70, 4 years from now, they both get 132% of their benefits, which would be, I think, $2,640. And they were able to collect, as a couple, $48,000 in between. So it's kind of like having your cake and eating it too.
And there's going to be a change in that going forward. So we're going to talk about that, but that was a great example. Folks, we're coming up on our next break. If you have questions, we're taking them live or off air, whatever you're more comfortable with. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Some additional traffic reports after 6 o'clock here at WDIY due to some significant problems in Route 309 and 22. There's a heavy delay there due to some accidents that are trying to clear those up now. There's still very, very heavy volumes heading into Route 22 from 309. In the Easton area, 25th Street area, traffic causing some delays there. And at 22 in Cedarcrest and Allentown in both directions, there's delays due to an accident.
Welcome back to the show. This is Your Financial Choices and your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening Mark Basic, District Manager for the Social Security Administration. We're talking about the Social Security options folks have and then some of the changes that are going to come up. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. I want to recap. Mark had mentioned we were talking about some of the strategies that had been available prior and wonderful strategies to help folks plan for the longevity that we're seeing so much now and maximizing benefits by using strategies that we will call delaying benefits to earn credits to age 70. And we've talked about there being benefits on your own work record, spousal benefits, and survivor benefits. We've talked about using a strategy called file and suspend, whereby once someone reaches full retirement age, they have a choice or have had a choice in the past. There's going to be some changes to that as to whether they're going to collect their own benefit, a spousal benefit. If one spouse has filed and suspended their benefit, a spouse can collect on that. There's going to be some important time dates that folks are going to have. So, Mark, can you tell us some of the changes that we've seen? So we've talked about this great strategy that people have been using, the file and suspend strategy. Again, I want to emphasize, these are strategies available for people who wait till full retirement age. There are some people who at age 62 aren't working, need the money. They're not going to qualify for file and suspend or spousal benefits if they're going in and claiming early, because that is when, as you mentioned earlier, Social Security just pays the higher benefit that they're entitled to. So let's go back to these file and suspend strategies. What changed with the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 for people who are interested in this technique?
Basically, file and suspend is going away starting with May 1st of 2016. Now, if file and suspend is only available to people who are 66 and older anyway, so if your birthday does not allow you to turn 66 before May 1st of 2016, you really don't even have to worry about this because you're not going to have this option. But if you're going to be 66 by that point, you can file, and that will allow you to then suspend your own benefits, allow your own benefits to grow at the rate of 8% a year, and it will allow you to entitle, before I mentioned wives, but it also could entitle children. If you had minor children or disabled children, those children could collect, even though you're deferring your benefit to allow it to grow. That's out of the picture. A second option that caused people to file and suspend was the possibility of taking a lump sum down the road. And let me explain this example. Let's say I file and suspend at age 66, and then at age 69, I go to the doctors, and the doctor says, don't buy any green bananas. You know, your health is really bad. You're probably not going to live more than a year. Well, at that point, this strategy of putting my Social Security off for my 90s is not a good strategy. And if I had filed and suspended in one lump, I can get all of the benefits that I would have been entitled to had I taken them when I filed and suspended, all the way up to the point that I got the bad news from my doctor. So if that goes up to age 70, I could get 48 months of benefits. That could be well over $100,000. So that option's going away. So you can't kind of protect yourself in the event, it's sort of like a mini insurance policy. So those things are going away effective with May 1st. For anybody who turns 62, 2016 and later, so if your birthday is January 2nd of 2016 or later, and you're turning 54 at that point or beyond that, you will not have the option of a restricted application. You will only have the option of taking the higher benefit, your own or half of your spouse's, but not both. So for anybody born 1953 or earlier, you can still take that restricted application. You would say, no, I don't want my own right now. I want it to grow at 8% a year. I want half of my wife's.
But they can only do that once they reach full retirement age, and some people don't realize that. They think they still have the option at 62 or 63 to collect one or the other. It's just given them the ability to be able to do it when they turn 66 by December 31st. So here's a little gift for you, six people who turn 62 by December 31st of 2015, but you have to wait till you're 66 to get the gift.
That's correct.
And then you can take a restricted application, which doesn't involve anyone filing and suspending. It involves you taking a restricted application for your spousal benefit. Mark, before we go on, we had a caller, Rick, called in, and he had a question. He said, how will his pension affect Social Security? He's going to be 62 next year.
Well, Rick, I have good news for you. Your pension will have no effect on your Social Security at all. The only thing that affects Social Security are your earnings. If you're actually working in a job where you're an employee or you're self-employed, that could affect your Social Security. And between the ages of 62 and 65, if you make $15,720 or more, it could reduce your benefit. Pensions do not affect you. Your distributions from your 401k don't affect you. Rents that you collect do not affect you. So enjoy your pension. And one thing to consider, Rick, if your pension is a very generous one, some folks say, well, since I have the pension to live on, I'll delay my Social Security, and that will get you that higher benefit by putting it off to 63, 64, or even 70. But you have a lot of choices, Rick, but I think they're all good ones.
And so sometimes, Rick, I think what sometimes people have in their head is this age 62, oh, I have to go collect, because it's just been kind of inundated in, you know, media, people thinking, oh, 62, I can collect. So to Mark's point, just because you turn 62 doesn't mean you have to. And I think it's a great idea to use that pension as an option to see how you do with that first. That's kind of like a financial planning technique. See how you do on the pension. And if you can go a little bit longer without the Social Security, you're just increasing your benefit. Again, we like to look at longevity and things like that. Where a pension or IRA distributions and things like that might affect not your benefit of Social Security, but your taxation of Social Security. So Social Security gets included on our tax return in the gross amount, but how much of it gets taxed depends on how much other income you have. My mother gets Social Security. She has no other income. None of it's taxable. There might be someone who earns $500,000. They're age 70. They're still working, and they collect Social Security. It can be included up to 85%, not 100%, but included up to 85%. And then there are people who are in those kind of sweet spots where maybe some of the Social Security gets taxed up to 50% or up to not the whole 85%. So that's where Social Security could get impacted, is in taxation, not in benefit. Okay, folks, if you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. We love the calls. Thanks for calling. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening Mark Basak, District Manager of Social Security, a wealth of knowledge and information here. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can call and talk live on air with us or off air, whatever you're more comfortable with. So, Mark, we have talked about the ages that people can collect, the benefits of delaying collecting. We talked about that there's no point in delaying after age 70 because your benefit is stuck at 70. One thing I wanted to add about that is sometimes people will refrain from collecting a spousal benefit thinking they want their spouse to get half of the amount at age 70. That doesn't happen. I think you mentioned that it's the full retirement age benefit they're going to get half of if they are both age 66. If the spouse collects before age 66, there's a reduced benefit as well if they're entitled to the spousal benefit. Neil, we have a caller on line one. We have Sam in Bethlehem. Hi, Sam. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. How can we help you?
Well, before I talk to Mr. Basak, let me just mention that at the recent fund drive for WDIY, I heard NPR hosts Robert Siegel and Renee Montaigne mentioning Financial Choices with Lori Siebert as an excellent example of local programming on WDIY. So congratulations for the recognition.
Thank you very much.
I turned 66 in June. I was intending on filing and suspending, and now I understand that that option goes away for me in May. And I'm kind of confused what I'm hearing, that I can not file and suspend, but I can delay starting taking Social Security after my full age in June?
Sam, just so I'm certain of your situation, will you be turning 66 in June of 16, or have you already turned 66?
I'm sorry, I have a very bad connection here. June of 16 is when I will turn 66.
Okay,
yeah, in your situation, you will not have the option of filing and suspending. However, if you don't take your benefit, it will grow at the rate of 8% a year. Sam, filing and suspending is not necessarily going away. What's going away are the fruits of filing and suspending, which would be to have your spouse collect even though you're deferring, or that ability to sort of create a kind of an insurance policy for yourself by possibly taking that benefit somewhere before age 70 that you've deferred. That's the only part that's going away. But by just saying, I don't want my benefits, we will let your benefits grow, Sam. It's just that you can't entitle your spouse, your children or have that potential for a lump sum. So I hope that's clear.
Is it?
Yeah, so for a single person, it actually, there's no significant change.
That's correct.
But Sam, if the filing and suspending strategy in the past where Mark said you could suspend for like the 4 years and collect the lump sum, now you can file and suspend and they'll only go back 6 months. So let's pretend you thought you might have a recent illness and at 66 you don't want to collect though. So you think, gosh, what happens if something happens to me in 4 months? Well, you could file and suspend at 66. And then let's say at 66 and a half, you could go back and get your 6 months. But let's say you're still healthy and at 68 is when this illness really kicks in. You would have filed and suspended at 66, but at 68, you'll only be able to collect 6 months worth.
Yes. Lori brings up a good point with the change. Anybody who's over 66 is entitled to retroactivity of up to 6 months back to their full retirement age, but it's limited to that 6 months.
Right.
Whereas with the old file and suspend, you could actually go back to the day that you filed and suspend it.
Okay, so my best option would be to start collecting Social Security at age 66 and a half.
No.
No,
no, no. Unless,
a delayed benefit's a delayed benefit. So if you think you're going to have a long life expectancy and you're on your own and maybe you don't have much of a pension, but you have other cash flow right now or you're working, you could delay longer.
Okay.
Yeah. Sam, I would advise you to make the decision to take your Social Security based on whether or not you're working at that point, what kind of income you have, really how that income is taxable. And, you know, I'm not going to step into Lori's shoes here, but that extra Social Security income may not be as useful to you at 66 as it might be at 70 from a tax perspective. Make it based on those decisions. But if you need the money, that's a different story. Then, you know, people should really take it when they have a need for that cash flow.
And Sam, I'll give you another example if you have time. So, for example, let's pretend you had a 401k or an IRA rollover.
Right.
And you could use that for cash flow. Wait on the Social Security, because if you're getting an 8% premium each year by waiting, that's a pretty good rate of return that you may not be getting in your investments. But what happens when you take the IRA money out, that's all going to be income taxable. When you combine that with taking Social Security out at the same time, and at age 70 and a half, you have to take the IRA money out. Mm-hmm. So sometimes what we'll look at is whether or not you can fund your cash flow with the IRA, and then at age 70, you start your Social Security. At age 70 and a half, you have required minimum distributions, which is going to affect the taxation of your Social Security. But guess what? You're going to have smaller required minimum distributions because you already used some of that money for the 4 years, or, well, 3 years, and no, 4 years in your case, while you were waiting to collect Social Security.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's really apparent to tax preparers the impact of other income on the taxation of Social Security, because we do tax returns and we see it happen. If someone's making $40,000 of IRA distributions and they have $30,000 of Social Security, their Social Security, and I'm just throwing out a number, their Social Security might be included like $20,000, but if they had $20,000 of other income, maybe none of their Social Security is getting taxed. You see? So, I mean, it all depends. It's a formula worksheet, but just something to be aware of.
Pension income.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. Sorry. I hope I didn't confuse you too much.
Oh, yeah. Well,
there's a lot of factors to consider. It's good to sit down and put it all down on a piece of paper. That will help you.
Okay?
Thanks so much for calling. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Lori.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. It's very complicated.
It certainly is, but we have some great resources to take some of the mystery out of the Social Security part, and that is Social Security's webpage, which is www.socialsecurity.gov.
And you know what? Also, let me give kudos to the Social Security Administration offices in Bethlehem and probably Allentown now if you're there, because I have heard great things. People have good experiences, whereas in the past, I think people would say, oh, the people at Social Security don't know. I don't hear that from the local offices here. I think we are very fortunate in Lehigh Valley to have two, you know, such good offices here to help with the Social Security.
That's so kind of you to share that, Lori. And I'd like to think that we provide world-class service. That good customer service is very important to all of us who work at Social Security. But having said that, there are 10,000 people every day filing for retirement right now. We are at the literal peak of the baby boom. And Social Security offices are very busy places. So if a person can get a lot of information online, if people can file their claim online, they will really be saving themselves a lot of time and you know, really get the support they need. Try that option first.
There are tons of resources on that website. I love that website, and I use the shortcut ssa.gov. And Mark just mentioned it's socialsecurity.gov for people who want to type that out. But ssa.gov also works. Lots and lots of resources, and in English as well for us to understand. We have another caller. We have Tony from Easton. Tony, can you hear us?
Hello. Yes, I hope I can. Can you
Hi.
Hear me?
Yes,
folks?
Yes. Good. How can we help you?
Hi, Lori and Mark. Great show tonight.
Thank you.
I am 60. My wife is 61, going to be 62. She's been out of work for about 6 years. I am currently employed, but I would like to think about taking retirement early. This is a two-part question. I wonder what Mark thinks about the scenario of us both filing early. Like I said, she's not worked in 6 or 7 years, and I don't expect her to bring in any income. I'm at the point where I'd like to retire for health and other reasons, and as soon as I can. And the other question is, you mentioned the website. I have been on the website. I like face-to-face meetings. I like to talk to someone. Mark, if you I remember going back to the days of Ray Little at the Easton office and John Olnitzky. You probably remember those names.
I do. I do.
Is it still possible? Is it still possible to go in and meet with someone?
Tony, absolutely. Social Security tries to provide the service that the customer expects, and for folks like you that are more comfortable with a face-to-face experience, you can definitely make an appointment to file in the office. I would like to ask you to wait till you got within 3 months of 62, though.
Sure.
But no, that's fantastic. We also provide the same service over the telephone with our local office. And then finally, the online claim process. Currently, we have nearly 60% of the folks in the Lehigh Valley are actually filing their claims online. Even my brother can do it in 15 minutes, so trust me, it's easy. But your wife concerns me here. You said that she hasn't worked in 6 years. Does your wife have a health problem, Tony?
No. She's going to live to 90 at the least.
Okay, good, that's
good
great
stock,
to hear.
Good stock, yes.
Okay. Well then, there's no problem with that. Your wife, of course, since she'll be getting there before you, 3 months before she's 62, she should make that appointment. If you tag along, we'll give you estimates. We'll be happy to serve you in the office, but in the meantime, consider opening a My Social Security account at our website. And we do send out information to folks on a 5-year band now with their benefit information. But when you come in, Tony, we'll be able to fine-tune that when you come in with your wife 3 months before 62 for her. All right?
Sounds good, Mark.
It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for calling, Tony.
Thank you both.
Okay, have a good night. The one thing I want to caution people on, too, is sometimes people will think when they go on Social Security that they also get Medicare. And just so you know, folks, Medicare starts at 65, not at 62. So the other caution is when some people, you know, feel they need to retire for, you know, health reasons, stress reasons, they have to remember to manage the stress that they might have when they find out they have to pay for their own health insurance too. So you want to make sure that you're factoring in your cash flow, what kind of expenses you're going to have, because Social Security, again, as we mentioned earlier to our 29-year-old, that Social Security isn't necessarily meant to cover all the expenses. So we certainly hope if people are thinking about filing early that they've considered all their other resources as well. Folks, we're taking our last break. If you have questions, there's still plenty of time, live on air or off air. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and I have in the studio with me this evening Mark Basic from Social Security, a great resource for us all. He and the website, socialsecurity.gov, lots of information there. I also want to quickly mention that Mark had referred to setting up an account at the Social Security website. It seems very secure. I went through it myself and set up an account, and they ask you a lot of personal questions that no one else in the world would know. So you can go on there, set up an account, and then you actually get to view your statement. So Social Security sending out those statements every 5 years now to, what is it, like 55, 60, 65? So for folks who are those in-between years, you can go online, set up an account. It was fairly easy to do, and then you can print out your statement. Mark, as to Tony's call, he had said that his wife was 61, hadn't worked in a while. You had asked if she had any health issues, and she hadn't. He had mentioned that for maybe kind of, he had said something about having health issues for himself, 60. What happens with folks for who might have health concerns? You mentioned earlier disability. At what point does someone know when they might qualify for some kind of benefit pre-retirement age?
Well, one of the best signs that you ought to think about disability is when you just can't work anymore. And sometimes your doctor will help you make that determination. But when you're physically unable to work, and having said that, we've had folks who experienced a layoff out of their control. And they realize that, boy, these health problems are keeping me from getting another job, and they file successfully for disability. But let's talk about why that would be a good move. When you file for disability, you're basically getting the same benefit that you would get at age 66. So what we're talking about is an unreduced retirement benefit. So
if for example Tony's health issues be escalated, and we're going to use you as an example, Tony. I'm not saying it really applies to you. We're just using your name. Let's say at 60, he's pre-retirement.
So if he qualifies for disability at that point, he will get 100% of the benefit. Now, we look at a person's 35 highest work years when they reach retirement age. If they're out of the workforce due to disability and they only have 25, 26 years of work, it will actually lower their benefit if they don't file for disability. The advantage of disability is we basically cap or freeze their work record at that point. So they're getting a higher benefit. You get Medicare after you're on disability for 2 years. So if you have that permanent condition that is keeping you from working, the worst thing that you can do if you're near retirement age is to say, no, I'm going to stay at home until I'm 62 or 66 or whatever. You're actually hurting yourself. You're actually lowering your benefit in most cases and denying yourself the opportunity for a higher money amount and Medicare coverage.
I think that's a great summary of that. Thank you, Mark. We have a call on line one. I think it's about taxes, Mark. So, hello? Do we have our call?
Hello?
Hi, is this Judy?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Judy. How can we help you?
Hello. I was calling regarding how I can handle a tax situation. We sold some stock for my father, and he passed away the same day we got the proceed check in the mail on December 29th of 2015. So we don't know if we count that as 2015 tax or because we couldn't even deposit the check until we opened the estate, is if it goes in the estate and it's towards that.
Okay, so you put in the trade 3 days before he died. The settlement, it settled 3 days after you put in the trade, and it happened to be the day he died. That is a lifetime event. The sales are based on the trade date, which would have been during his lifetime. It gets reported on his personal income tax return. The deposit goes into the account on his date of death, and that account will get included if he's a Pennsylvania resident on his Pennsylvania inheritance tax return. And if it's in an account in his name alone, it would be included in the estate.
So I do put it in his personal income tax?
It goes in his, it will be reported on his 1040, his personal income tax, because it's based on the trade date. So whatever his cost basis was is how it gets reported on his 1040. It's based on the trade date, which was 3 days before he passed. You'll see when you get the 1099. It won't say December 29th. It'll say December 26th.
Right, and we've yet to get that.
Yep.
And should we not have that by now?
They're a little delayed. The fund companies take some extra time now. The IRS has allowed them to make sure that they're giving good information, because for several years, taxpayers were getting corrected 1099s and corrected 1099s and corrected 1099s. The IRS said, fine, take a little extra time so you don't have to keep correcting them. And so usually by February 15th, I've been seeing them come out.
I thank you for your help.
Okay,
thank
great,
you.
Judy. Have a good night. We have another Judy on line two. Judy, how can we help you? Can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, hi. How can we help you?
My husband turned 65 this year, and he's still working full-time. He plans on working full-time for at least another year. Should he file for Social Security, or should he sign up for Social Security and not take any money?
Judy, your husband should sign up for Medicare. And if he's covered through an employer group health plan at work, he just has to sign up for Part A of Medicare, which is free. It'll get him a Medicare card, which is kind of cool. A lot of places say, hey, that's proof you're a senior. But other than that, he's not going to have much of an impact. If he's making a significant amount of money, and by significant, like let's say $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year or more, I don't think it would be a good idea for him to file for Social Security. That option should be considered after he decides to stop working and retires. That would be the best time to file. Of course, the following year, when he's 66, he can collect his Social Security even though he's working. So that's kind of like another decision point. But between now and 66, if he's going to keep working, he probably doesn't have to worry about filing for Social Security. All right?
Okay.
because his full retirement age is 66. And then that inflection point, Mark said, at 66, once someone reaches full retirement age, and some people get confused about this too, because the literature will say, in the year of full retirement, you have to pay back a dollar for every $3 over this limit. There's a certain limit for that. There's some payback even in the year of full retirement. But that's really for people who are collecting before full retirement age. Once you reach full retirement age, you can continue to work and collect Social Security. But Mark's point is, if he's still working, maybe he could delay and earn extra credits, you see, the 8% a year.
And those extra credits, Judy, would be there for you in the event that your husband would predecease you. So it is a very important part of financial planning.
Okay. So he should sign up for Medicare Part A?
That's correct.
Even though he has health insurance through his employer?
Yes. It makes it a lot easier for us to enroll him in Part B when his employment starts. What month is your husband turning 65?
April.
Of this coming year?
Yes.
Okay. He could actually, starting tonight, he could go to our website. You click on the word benefits. So you go www.socialsecurity.gov. You'll see the word benefits. You click on that, and it'll offer the option, file for Medicare online. Personally, go ahead.
Will he be paying for Medicare or just
No. Medicare is free if you take Part A only.
Part A is free.
Completely free. And they'll ask a question if he's covered by his employer group health plan. When he says yes, they won't even consider the part that you pay for. So it would be a good idea for him to do that. He'll get his Medicare card. And it really only takes about 10 or 15 minutes online. But the big time in his life will really come when he stops working, and also an important event will be when his health insurance coverage through work ends. Then he's going to have to pick up the Part B of Medicare.
Okay. All right.
Great questions, okay. Judy. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good night. I do want to mention one question that I asked Mark offline before we started the show, just for awareness for people. I don't want to talk about it too much, probably, Mark, because it's a little complicated. But I had the question, someone was eligible for Social Security in a foreign country. It happened to be Norway. So if someone is eligible for Social Security in a foreign country, I wouldn't have thought it would matter that they were collecting that plus their Social Security here. They went to apply for Social Security and the Social Security office said, oh, you're eligible for benefits elsewhere. We need to know that. Can you quickly tell the folks who may have worked in foreign countries in the past why that might be important for Social Security to know?
Social Security in the United States has what are called totalization agreements with the Social Security systems of a lot of other countries. Now, most of these countries are industrialized, developed countries like in Europe and Japan and Korea and so forth. But basically, if you're not collecting in that country, your application for Social Security here will pretty much end up being an application in that country's program. And most folks will get a higher benefit as a result of the totalization agreement. So you know, either we're talking about a neutral economic impact, or in most cases, nearly all cases, a positive impact. And also, just it makes it so much easier if you haven't lived in a country for 20 or 30 years to be able to do that through us rather than have to travel to that country and file an application. And where you really have to consider this is folks that, let's say, came to the United States in their youth or in their 20s or 30s, they may not even know that they have coverage in their home country. So just by answering that question, have you ever worked in a foreign country, will help you through that totalization agreement. And it really will benefit a lot of folks.
Okay. Mark, we only have about a minute left. How do you want to wrap up the conversation?
Right now, this is a very, very busy time at Social Security. We're affected by the tax season. People are coming in getting Social Security replacement cards. They're getting benefit verifications. Please, please, please get that My Social Security account at our website, and it will probably save you a trip in the office, especially if all you need is proof of your income for tax purposes, a new 1099 for your Social Security. And in the coming months, we will be adding replacement Social Security cards. So get ready for that by going to My Social Security. It's so convenient. And just never stop informing yourselves.
Okay. And the website is socialsecurity.gov. Lots of information available there. Mark, thanks so much for coming on. We're not going to wait so long to have you on again. Lots to talk about. Folks, next week, I am going to talk about understanding the tax reporting forms, what you need to know. I want to thank our callers this evening. Helped make it a great show. Thanks, Judy Ann. Thanks, Neil. Thanks, Mark Basak from the Social Security Administration. We really appreciate it. Coming up next, Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.
This is WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley at 88.1 in Allentown, Bethlehem, and on Translators 93.9 East in Phillipsburg and 93.7 in Fogelsville and Trexlertown. The time is coming up to 7:01.